From ABC, this is World News Tonight with Peter Jennings. Reporting tonight from Berlin.
From the Berlin Wall specifically, thousands and thousands of West Germans come to make the point that the wall has suddenly become irrelevant.
The fall of the Berlin Wall after 28 years of infamy followed a series of radical political changes in the Eastern Bloc, fueled by shifts in its authoritarian systems and erosion of political power. On November 9, 1989, after several weeks of civil unrest, the East German government announced its citizens could visit West Germany and West Berlin.
I lived in Ansbach, Germany, which is about four and a half hours away from Berlin.
Former WUWF journalist Daniel Freeman was a high school freshman in November 1989. Her father was serving in the U.S. Army in West Germany.
I don't remember there being a lot of talk about it. I specifically remember more so when it was close to coming down. You know, you're witnessing history happen, and I don't think you understand the importance or the significance of it until you step back from it.
After the wall came down, says Freeman, no school-related trip to Berlin was complete without going there.
If it was for humanities or any kind of sports, if you played on the volleyball team like me, you went for that. And then you had your humanities field trip, you went back for that. So, yeah, you got to go see the wall quite a bit.
Early on the morning of August the 20th, 1961, East German soldiers sealed off the line dividing the eastern sector of Berlin from the American, French, and British zones in the west. Building materials were brought out of nearby warehouses, and the notorious Berlin Wall began to take shape.
Nobody in the West saw this coming, but maybe they should have. Earlier in 1961, President Kennedy and Soviet Premier Nikita Khrushchev's first meeting did not go well. Khrushchev considered Kennedy a lightweight on foreign policy and treated him as such.
And when they came back and the discussion about Berlin came up, it really was in many ways a semi-declaration of war, that we are going to take Berlin back.
Patrick Moore is a former University of West Florida historian and an expert on the Cold War.
It seemed like an aggressive move, but it was really a passive move. As Kennedy argued, this wasn't a very nice way out of his predicament, but it's a hell of a lot better than war.
Built to a height of 11 feet 10 inches, the wall was topped with barbed wire and monitored by East German soldiers who had machine guns and orders to shoot to kill anyone trying to cross over to the West.
There were just a couple of thousand people who ever managed to get over or through the wall. It was incredibly effective at doing what it had to do. And with it, suddenly the center of the Cold War was able to move to Vietnam, to move to Africa, to move to other fronts. And with it, it just became sort of part of the new established norm for what the East and the West was going to be in Germany.
Freedom has many difficulties, and democracy is not perfect. But we have never had to put a wall up to keep our people in.
President Kennedy visited Berlin in June of 1963, delivering his iconic address of solidarity with the city's residents.
There are some who say that communism is the wave of the future. Let them come to Berlin. And therefore, as a free man, I take pride in the words, Ich bin ein Berliner.
It was a statement to both sides. We are with you. We stand with you. We're part of this larger conflict, and we understand it, and we're behind you. And it was also speaking to the other side that said, you know that we know that you failed on this front.
After JFK's assassination 5 months later, subsequent U.S. presidents, Johnson, Nixon, Ford, and Carter, had other more pressing issues. Vietnam, civil rights, Watergate, the economy, and the Iranian hostage crisis filled their plates while the wall did what it did. Fast forward now to the 1980s.
Now the Soviets themselves may, in a limited way, be coming to understand the importance of freedom. We hear much from Moscow about a new policy of reform and openness.
President Ronald Reagan and Soviet Premier Mikhail Gorbachev began that openness, glasnost in Russian, which led to a bit of thaw in the Cold War. Speaking at the Brandenburg Gate in West Berlin in June of 1987, Reagan made a request of his Soviet friend.
If you seek peace, if you seek prosperity for the Soviet Union and Eastern Europe, Mr. Gorbachev, tear down this wall.
And there were a lot of other cracks throughout the Iron Curtain elsewhere, but this was so symbolic, this very poignant statement about the division between East and West, dividing families, dividing friends, dividing countrymen.
I saw the decade.
Former UWF professor Patrick Moore said the Berlin Wall's demise began a domino effect, which led to the fall of the Soviet Union, the rest of the Eastern Bloc, and communism itself.
It was a clear defining point in history that something had happened. The song by Jesus Jones about that moment, that night, when so many people suddenly were free.
Saying the atomic bomb attacks against Japan started the Cold War and the fall of the Berlin Wall ended it, Moore says, could be considered an oversimplification, but it was a defining point in history. And as a gradual process in reality, it changed the world. Dave Dunwoody, WUWF News.